Okay, this is an interview with Sterling Hope in Durham, North Carolina. It is March 2nd, and we're in Ideas Coffee House in Durham, North Carolina. The interviewer is Geraldine Patterson. This is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South and will be used as part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The tape number is 3205SH. Okay, Mr. Holt, can you tell me when you attended Hillside?
I attended Hillside from 1959 through 1961.
Tell me what you remember most.
Well, I remember a lot of things, and I guess the thing that stands out foremost would be the type of academic preparation that we received. The teachers that we had during that era were well prepared academically. Several of the teachers taught part-time at North Carolina Central University as well.
Oh, did they? I didn't know
yes,
that.
Right.
Nobody else has told me that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And, and you know, a lot of emphasis, again, was placed on academic preparation, and they created a college prep program.
Okay.
And I was involved with that.
Okay.
And just the whole environment was totally conducive to learning. It was totally conducive to developing friendships. And I guess the thing that I was on a tennis team and basketball team while I was at Hillside, and we won state tennis championship I think for 2 years out of the 3 years that I was there.
Okay, I hadn't heard anybody talk about tennis team.
Right,
I didn't even know there was one.
And we had an outstanding tennis program.
Okay.
An outstanding athletic program, but they were sort of coincide. We had Coach Blunt and Coach Easterling, and they had to teach as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we realized we had to excel academically the same as we had to excel athletically. And it was a real good experience, because we knew that we could excel after we graduated from Hillside, and we had a vision of what we wanted to do even beyond college. And I think that's some of the things that are omitted now.
Okay.
And you know, the way that African American kids are treated, because we had a lot of outstanding role models, you know, and that is something, you know, and the discipline was very thorough.
Okay.
It was very firm, but at the same time it was fair.
Okay, firm and fair.
Mm-hmm.
Was Prof. Austin there when you were there?
Yes, he was.
I've heard a lot about him.
Right.
And so I'm hearing you say that these teachers were role models, the teachers and the coaches
right.
were role models, and that did they give you a sense of this vision of what you could do after
yes.
you left high school?
Right.
Did they send you specific messages, or did you hear certain
yes.
things over and
right.
Tell me some of the things that you heard.
Well, it was life after athletics.
Okay.
And by that, you know, you knew that if you wanted to go to the next level, you had to be prepared academically
mm-hmm.
to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we had an outstanding principal, Mr. Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. And I guess he lived right around the corner the majority of the time where I lived. And but before they had renovated and expanded Hillside, he lived right on Formosa Street,
okay.
where the athletic fields, practice fields were.
So what do you think made Hillside so unique?
Well, I think the instructional staff,
mm-hmm.
Outstanding instructors,
mm-hmm.
And it was a part of what people consider to be Black Durham.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, received support from North Carolina Central University, received support from Mechanics and Farmers Bank, we received support from North Carolina Mutual, and Mutual Savings and Loan,
mm-hmm.
and But one thing that, and another thing that stands out, the whole time I was in, from elementary school all the way to high school, up to maybe 11th grade, I believe, the ice cream was processed through Royal Ice Cream Company.
Okay.
And at the time, it was doing segregation, and the ice cream company was located in a black community at the corner of Dowd and in Roxburgh, I believe.
Okay.
And we realized that, you know, the only way we could eat ice cream after school, if we went there, we had to stand at a window and order through a window. We didn't steal. They were the white people were Caucasians. I don't prefer people as white, but the Caucasians and African Americans, put it that way. The African Americans had to order through a little window. Caucasians could go in and sit down and eat.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they wanted us to purchase ice cream at the school for our dessert. So we participated in a boycott, and we decided we were not going to buy any Royal ice cream. And ice cream kept sitting there, and they stopped bringing it after a period of time. And I think they went for another company eventually.
No one had told me about that.
Right.
Okay, so y'all were politically active.
Yeah, right.
Politically active, intelligent student body. So tell me more about what it was like to live in Durham. How different is Durham now than it was when you were a teenager going to Hillside?
Well, for me, where I was raised, everybody was either self-employed or they worked for one of the black institutions. And early on, I knew that we didn't, you know, you didn't have to depend on white people or Caucasians to be successful. You know, that's just the way I was raised. My father had his own business.
What was the business?
He had his own barbershop.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. First, I was a barber, a beauty supply person.
Okay.
And it was on Fayetteville Street.
Okay.
And then you had, you know, the presidents of those other major African-American businesses sort of lived in that same neighborhood. So you had role models that you could go by. And, and I think Durham was one of the first few cities in North Carolina that started utilizing the block voting concept.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, the Durham Committee on
Affairs of Black People,
it was something else. I forgot the name of it right now, but it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall that. But you knew that was a stabilizing organization that dealt with the political process.
Okay. And so when I have done my research about Durham, learned about Haytie and all the black-owned businesses.
My barbershop was in Haytie.
Okay, it was in Haytie. Mm-hmm. They made it seem like everybody was doing really well in
Haytie. Yeah, I mean, it was like, my godmother's husband, he was a contractor, and he and his brother had a hardware store right there on Fayetteville Street.
Okay.
Then he also had an appliance store.
Okay.
All this is black owned.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
So you went to buy you went to the savings loan. And the president of savings loan at that time was his uncle.
Okay.
And he would encourage, if you were interested, his nephews had their own company. They had about 20 some people or more working for them.
Okay. So then was everybody living large that was black in Durham?
Well, not everybody, but I mean people who were able to afford certain things, they did.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. And the people who, those of us who weren't, what were we doing?
Well, see, even people who were working, at the time you had American Tobacco Factory and Ligon & Myers, those people were making real good salaries as well, you know.
Okay.
And, it was just, you felt very secure within yourself.
So the economic situation brought a sense of stability and security within the African American community is what I'm hearing. Okay. All right. And so, okay, you went 1959, 1961. Mm-hmm. Brown versus Board was 1954, school desegregation, mm-hmm. supposedly 1954. Were there white students at Hillside when you were, when you went in 1961? Do you remember Hillside changing in any way because
of
that?
I remember, we didn't have any white students there, but I remember, I think, Jocelyn McKissick was probably one of the first African-American students to integrate Hillside. She's a friend of mine. She still lives in Durham.
Okay.
And I remember another guy that played basketball went to Durham High.
Okay.
I played basketball. His name was Earl Mason.
Okay. So we went to Durham High, but they didn't come.
I don't know. See, it was, you had a choice. You could make a decision if you wanted to go there.
Okay.
Freedom of choice, I think that's what it was. Okay. Something like that.
And so you don't remember if there were any white teachers up there? You don't remember a lot of talk about it, it sounds like.
I don't remember any white teachers at Hillside.
Okay.
The only time I came in contact with a white teacher was when I went to North Carolina Center.
Okay.
If I recall correctly.
Okay. Do you think that there's something special that Hillside did for black students that is now kind of lost?
Well, it gave you a sense of racial pride, racial identity, academic stability, a sense of independence, where you were motivated to learn, and you were motivated that you could be successful if you made the necessary sacrifices and commitments.
How exactly did they motivate y'all?
They would go on the telephone. If you didn't follow through, they would call your parents, you know? Or they would go over and see your parents.
Okay.
But it was, that was the way that I recall that teachers used to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the teachers had a connection with your parents.
Right.
Did your parents go to Hillside?
No, no.
Okay.
My father went to Palmer Memorial Institute up in Sedalia.
Okay, that was a private school,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
My mother went to school in Rockingham, North Carolina.
Okay. So I'm hearing some things you thought Hillside did that's now lost, that Hillside gave students a sense of racial pride and identity.
Well, what's lost now is the fact that, you know, you look at the administration, they're not... the whole thing is to dismantle the history that Hillside developed and became a part of the African American community in Durham. And I'm a strong believer that, you know, that there are certain things you should never change, and I think a lot of times as African Americans, we are encouraged to eliminate certain things, part of our tradition, a part of our history, part of our culture. One should never lose the importance of their own culture. We have, as African Americans, we have a rich culture. We have a rich history, and that is something I think that's the current administration. You know, they don't want to say that Hillside, number one, is still going under the name of a predominantly black high school.
Mm-hmm.
If it was left with them, I think they would probably try to have a white principal, a Caucasian principal.
Mm-hmm.
Over there.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, the thing is to destroy and divide. If you can destroy and divide, you can try to conquer the others of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that can. I hope I never see the day that it happens in Durham and Hillside.
Were you okay with the move?
The
when
move.
They tore down old hillside.
Well, I had
down the street.
I had one day I was over visiting my parents and I made the loop from Pico around going up Formosa and I looked over there and I said, goodness gracious. And I thought about all the times that I had practiced over there playing tennis, practicing the gym, playing basketball. Mm-hmm. And we used to go over there on the weekends and just use the tennis courts and, mm-hmm. and practice over there. I mean, it was just like part of the community, mm-hmm. you know, the neighborhood as well.
So what do you think is important for people like me who didn't get to go to a school like Hillside? And future generations, what do you think is important for us to learn from what Hillside has meant to this community?
Number one, as African Americans, we come from a long history of achievers. And by that I mean we have achieved against a lot of odds and a lot of adversity. And we know how to budget, we know how to develop things, we know how to manage things, and I think that the Durham community is aware of that, but mm-hmm. what affects me and hurts me the most is a lot of people who've moved to Durham, that their appreciation for Hillside is not the same as my appreciation,
mm-hmm.
because we know that the news media gives Hillside right now a negative image in the Durham community. And that's not the way it should be. And a lot of things occurring at some of the other high schools that are going on that are worse than what's happening at Hillside. And the other thing is that I think a lot of the African-American educators sell themselves out and sell other African-Americans out. They don't stand up for support. I mean, management, like principals that have been changed and shifted from one position to another, and without even due cause.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a lot of racism in the Durham public schools,
mm-hmm.
and it's deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you only hear about negative things about Hillside, only negative things about African American principals or schools that are being managed by African Americans, mm-hmm. administrative wise.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Right. Well, is there anything else you want to tell me? People say, Geraldine, I know you've been talking to people about what it was like to go to Hillside, and I know you're getting this story, talking to all these people about what it means to have gone to a black high school.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anything that I need to know that I haven't asked you?
I would say those who are fortunate to go on after graduation to college and complete their college requirements and they went on to become successful.
Mm-hmm.
I still think some of those who didn't have the opportunity to go to college that graduated from Hillside are also successful
mm-hmm.
in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I think was, you know, you had that encouragement, mm-hmm. motivation coming from, you know, the instruction staff. You know, they had an outstanding vocational department at the time, auto mechanics, carpentry, brick masonry,
mm-hmm.
and they also did something, the metal craft
mm-hmm.
industry. So I think that's something I'll always remember. I think in today's society, our kids will never have an opportunity. Unless things take a drastic change to have had the opportunity to experience some of the things I experienced while mm-hmm. I was at Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's something that's, you know, sort of deep to me, mm-hmm. not only to myself, but a lot of other people who mm-hmm. graduated from mm-hmm. Hillside. You know.
So meaningful experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, at least they'll be able to listen to your experiences through this.
Yeah, day. Yeah. I had some, you know, and I guess another experience stands out when I was senior in high school. Like I said, I played on a tennis team, and they had the high school nationals that was held in Durham for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, high school, we taught African-American tennis players. They would come and we would have a high school tournament mm-hmm. because at the time, you know, they didn't allow African-American tennis players to sort of cross the line
right.
unless you went to the national championship. Where for a while they didn't allow African-Americans, but my senior year, I had an opportunity to play against Arthur Ashe.
Did you?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me you beat him.
He beat me, I think 6-3, 6-2. But I did qualify to go to the high school national tournament. It was in Charlottesville, Virginia at the mm-hmm. time, because they took the top, all the quarterfinal players. Okay. They qualified, and I made it to the quarterfinal.
Okay. Did y'all play at UVA? In Charlottesville?
Yeah, but okay. but the tournament was held, my senior was on A&T.
Okay.
Yeah.
How interesting. Good for you.
Yeah.
You can say you got a couple of games in on Arthur
Yeah,
Ashe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we played in the summer because mm-hmm. they had, the American Tennis Association was an African-American organization.
Okay.
And they had a private club on Fayetteville Street, where the current W.D. Hill Recreation mm-hmm. Center mm-hmm. is housed.
The Algonquin?
Algonquin Club.
Okay.
Yeah,
were you part of that?
I started playing tennis there.
Okay. All right, I've seen some pictures of,
yeah.
of that
yeah.
tennis club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. They had three tennis courts there.
Okay. Right. Durham really does have a rich
yeah.
history
mm-hmm.
for African Americans, so I'm glad that we're able
right.
to get some pieces of it down. Okay, well, I'm going to stop the tape unless there's something else you want to.
Anything else you want to ask me?
maybe later.
Yeah, okay.